I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning, Holy Innocents.
Good morning.
So today, I am going to start out with something that you have already heard. And I am going to reread it. It is the collect that we heard at the beginning of the service. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is a reflection of prayer, a reflection of our theological virtues, of faith, hope, and love, which is charity, as well as loving God and others, which is our neighbors. This collect reminds us and prepares us for today's readings of humility and God's mercy, not of self-pride and arrogance. Humility and arrogance are two opposite ends of the spectrum. How do we reconcile these words in our minds? How do we feel about these words? How do we acknowledge or recognize that we may fall into one of these categories at some time in our life? Should be simple to think about, should be pretty straightforward, but is it? In humility, there is quite a bit of depth in the secular definition, but it also is referenced throughout Scripture. We find that it is a significant aspect of our Christian faith, and that Jesus is the model of humility. Jesus serves selflessness even to his sacrificial death on the cross. It is essential to have a deep spiritual relationship with God and our neighbor. It factors into our unity as one, to love each other, to have a heartfelt attitude towards each other, and to develop an awareness of our limitations, which allows the understanding for God's grace and the need for mercy. The depth of spiritual humility is an outward action of serving and teaching and respecting our neighbor. It is a genuine heart of lowliness. It is not out of obligation. It is also recognizing our place in relationship with God, where we will sin and yet mercy is found. Now, if we look into arrogance, there's also a quite a bit of depth. It is also can be seen in a reflection of our spiritual journeys, which entails sometimes a superior to self-importance, which can lead to a condescending attitude toward our neighbor, seen as falling short in their life. Is it according to our will, or is it according to God's will and whose standards? Which also leads to judgment and sin. It's not recognizing a genuine relationship with God centered on Christ. And it also leads to an unwillingness to learn from our neighbors, even when we may not agree and we are different from each other. The self-importance of I am right and you are wrong. Now, we can go on and on all day about the subject of humility and arrogance, down to our morals and ethics of our daily lives into the cultural context we see. However, it is persistence through Scripture's foundation, fellowship, and holding each other accountable, and hopefully a rule of life, which changes and guides our spiritual journeys as we change and grow with God, and hopefully leading to the fullest relationship, not only with God, but walking with God beside us. We see this in our classic parable today of two ways of praying. This parable challenges us to reflect on who we are and as followers of Christ. One way of praying is the Pharisee, who is inside the temple, who is highly respected, according, praying to the God for how thankful he is for all that he has accomplished, for all how he is different from others, self-promoting himself to God, claiming that he has gone beyond the social norms and trusting fully in himself and not like others, like that of the tax collector. The second way of prayer was that of the tax collector, who prays it the opposite way. The tax collector is seeking repentance. He stands away from the temple. He's not even looking up in heaven. Instead, he is asking for God's mercy, as he is a sinner and is feeling unworthy. The obvious thought here is that both men are praying to God, yes, and each one is on their own spiritual journey. These are two unfolding prayers that are transforming of sins and taking place in their time. Prayer and reflection are vital to the Christian life. It is being one with God, being Christ-centered, and recognizing that silence is okay at times. And sometimes the words do not need to fill that space, or when that right answer is not always needed. It is through prayer and humility that can be transformed. This past July, my first month here in Holy Innocence, I was learning my way around, and it was a Monday, and the office is closed, and very few of us work. A woman came knocking on the door. She was calm, and she wanted to know if she could sit in the church. Here I am, not here, going, what do I do? Are there protocols, or can we go in? What do I do? Do I sit with her? Do I not sit with her? And then I realized, get out of your own head. Is it will be fine, and let it be, and just be with her. So I walked with her over here. She was fidgeting as we were walking, and we were walking in silence. I opened the church, and we sat in the chapel looking at that stained glass window. There is something about that stained glass window that you can feel the sun come through, and you can feel the stillness as you're sitting there. I asked her if she wanted me to stay or if she wanted me to go. And once again, my mind was racing in different directions, being new, Holy Innocence. And once again, I said, not about you. Let's be with the one in front of me. She asked me to stay, so I stayed with her. We sat on the same pew, some space between us, and it was for about a good 10 to 15 minutes of complete silence with a total We had not yet quite exchanged names yet. It was more or less of just two people coming together in a moment of need. After that, she began maneuvering a little bit more of softly crying. And then she grabbed a kneeler and knelt down and began praying to God that she had made a mistake on trying to help someone keep their home, and she might have messed up that financial decision. She was trying to pray with God of how to turn a wrong into a right that she felt responsible for. She began crying further. I let her talk. I was with her, said less. It was a moment of her allowing God to work through her, sitting with her. And all of a sudden, she said something, and I said something back. And she quietly looked at me and said, you know a little bit. And I said, I do, but in my context, not your context. And she quickly softened further, cried less, and we just began talking. We talked about life. We talked about her struggles. We talked about where God was moving in all of this. And would God forgive her if this did not work out? Would this person forgive her? It was part of the reason this had not worked out. After a few minutes of discussing it, she calmed down. We gathered her thoughts, we gathered her things, and we began walking through the garden. Next thing I knew, she turned around and hugged me, caught me off guard, and I'm always not a hugger. Some of you know that, trying to work on that. And so here it was. She was so grateful that I was here, that I had opened this church to her. I did not know who she was. She did not know who I was. She drove past this church every day to go to work. but that one day she felt called to stop in here. And I share this with you because we do not know what is always taking place in our neighbors' lives, including the neighbors in this church community. It is genuinely being humble and self-awareness that fosters the repentance, which allows God's mercy and grace. Finding our own justification like the Pharisee did is not always about talking, being the loudest in the room, having the highest achievements, or checking off that checklist of being God's best servant. It is serving with a Christ-centered heart, where humility is completely through us to the core of who God made us to be in his image. We are to ask and guide. Jesus challenges us to avoid trusting in our own efforts and to do what we think is right, and instead to allow the Spirit to move us and trust in God and God's mercy and grace. I was chuckling earlier in the adult Bible study. There were about 38, 40 of us, if I counted correctly, give or take a few. We were reading through scripture. We were reading through the BCP of one of the canticles that went through scripture from Exodus all the way to Revelation. And some of that fellowship in that room, I could see God working, and things that I just said were being said in that fellowship context of working together in fellowship, being our neighbor, being self-reflected, and knowing that God is walking with us. That is where we are keeping Christ-centered on the focus. We are encouraged this to make a difference in our neighbor's lives, just as the last verse of the parable says, "For who exalts themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." That is a powerful reflection to sit with and just listen to the words. Just as in 10:30 services, we have hymns. If you go through the hymn of what was read verse by verse before the gospel reading, they're beautiful, they're empowering, they're teaching us, just as scripture teaches us. Just as verse 4 says in 314, "Jesus, whom now hidden, I by faith behold, what my soul doth long for, that thy word foretold, face to face thy splendor, I at last shall see. And the glorious vision, blessed Lord, of thee." So if we think of the Pharisee and the tax collector, yes, they are praying. Where are we when we are praying? Where are we being guided? Where are we allowing that Holy Spirit to work, giving thanks and praise to God? As we were also learning praise and thanksgiving in the canticles this morning, of understanding there is so much more that we can give and learn and be, not only here, but in the community that we encounter everyone that is God has set before us. Know that everybody is loved, and God's mercy and grace will always be with you. Amen.